body with fragments. Even then, he didn't stop. Private Coker took hold of a wounded Marine and again dragged him to safety. Two more grenades exploded nearby, further peppering him with hot fragments. But Coker continued crawling, pulling his fellow Marine. From their position in the jungle, the other members of the second platoon watched in disbelief as Coker steadfastly crawled along the jungle floor, all along pulling his fellow Marine to safety. Inspired by his action, the rest of the platoon surged forward, picking apart the enemy defensive line until they were able to grab Coker and his comrade and move them to safety. Private Ronald Coker succeeded in his mission. He saved the life of a wounded Marine. However, Private First Class Ron Coker suffered serious wounds. He died on the field of fire as he lay in his comrade's arms. Private Coker's body was returned to his Nebraska hometown, where he was buried in Fairview Cemetery. For his heroism in saving a fellow Marine's life in Vietnam, he is posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Friends, the pictures that you see on the screen in front of us is a picture of a photo of a true American hero, a soldier who was on mission, a soldier who received orders and followed them no matter the cost. In order for our military to be efficient and effective, soldiers must follow their chain of command. They must follow the directives of those who are in command. Those in command will provide direction, they provide clarity, and they provide support in order to achieve victory. Private Coker followed the command and faithfully served the direction of his officers. Private Coker's sacrifice brought salvation to the men on patrol on that March 24, 1969 day. But as we think about today, as we worship the Lord, what does that have to do with us? See, Christians, we also have a command system. Jesus Christ is our commander. And we have to ask ourselves this question: are we a noble, faithful soldier of Jesus? You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by repenting and turning away from sin and turning to Jesus Christ, and we follow in obedience to Him, we become a soldier of Jesus Christ. We receive our commander's directives, and we have a decision and a choice to make to be faithful to our commander and do them, or to do our own thing. And that doesn't usually last very long, and it's usually a dismal failure. So this morning, are you willing to serve the command of Christ, no matter the cost? We're going to look at John chapter 14. We're going to look at starting with verse 5. And by the way, this is our 55th sermon in John. We're going to take a little stop for it after today's message, because we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we'll have some messages that are attuned to that. We'll eventually get back to John's Gospel sermon series after the first of the year. But as we look here, Jesus is also in command, and he's talking to his disciples. A lot of things have transpired up until now. We know that Judas has betrayed him, and he's basically telling them that he's going to be dying, and he's going to be going away, and he's providing comfort. And so last time I preached about the comfort of his disciples. And so today, he's talking about his command structure. He's going to say why he has authority and who he has it from. And he also wants to give them clarity of mission. And he wants to describe the way that the disciples are to follow. And so in this comforting discourse to the disciples, it's so beautiful and comforting for them that it still remains absolutely true for us today. So let's turn to John chapter 14, starting with verse 5. And when you have that, would you stand to your feet with me as we honor the Lord and His Word as we read the verses 5 through 14. Thomas said to them, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now can you say, 'Show us the Father'? So don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Father, we thank you and praise you for your holy and precious word, Lord. And as we begin to explore this passage, Lord, Lord, we recognize that, Lord, you are our commander. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow in your directions, Lord. Help us to follow you, who is our commander. Lord, as we read these verses, Lord, speak to our hearts clearly. Help us to understand them, and help us, Lord, most importantly, put them in true application of our lives today. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's four basic points that I want to share with you today. The first point is this: Jesus has the authority. Jesus has the authority. You know, in a life that we live today, we're always looking for someone in authority. But here in our spiritual life, sometimes we become ambiguous. But Jesus is making an absolutely clarifying statement about his authority. Verses 10 and 11 says, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. Now, let's not forget that Jesus has authority. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we're reminded this in the Great Commission, where he tells us this matter-of-factly: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, Jesus has been given all authority by his Father, but yet he emphasizes that when he speaks with even greater authority, because he speaks on the authorization from the Father. And that such great authorization is something that's difficult for us to fathom. As a soldier for Jesus, we have every bit of confidence that we serve under the greatest authority of God himself. When Jesus provides a command, we can recognize immediately that he has the authority to back up everything that he says. In an evidence-based or scientific approach world today, Jesus even provides clarity to the high-level academic-focused individuals. In verse 11, if you look at it, Jesus says, "Look at the evidence." Now, it's interesting. That's not an invention in the last decade where people's all talking in the academic world about where's the evidence of all this. Well, Jesus is saying this to over 2,000 years ago. He said, "Listen, guys, look at what the evidence reveals to you." Jesus said, "Look around you. Look and see what God has done, and not only what he has done, but what he is doing now. At least believe on the evidence of the work themselves." That's what he says in verse 11. Many of the Jews were looking at anything to justify their hatred for Jesus. Now, Jesus is declaring boldly that who he is, and then boldly emphasizes his statement and said, "Look at the evidence." You know, there's a guy by the name of Lee Strobel. Perhaps you've heard of him. He wrote a book, The Case for Christ. There's been ultimately, not too long ago, there was a movie that came out about his life. But Lee Strobel was a profound atheist. He did not believe in God. He was a journalist in New York, and he decided one day that he was going to address these Christian fanatics once and for all. He was going to write a journalist approach, an evidence-based approach account to these people of faith to show them proof that God does not exist. So he began writing this book. Problem is, midway into the book, he recognized that the people of faith really had a point. And so he ultimately accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and so has transformed it. So this atheist now is a reformed theist, knowing who Jesus Christ is, and now he has accepted him as Lord and Savior, preaching the truth of what Jesus is all about. So what happens when we look at the evidence? The evidence begins to convict our heart. The Holy Spirit will take that, and then it will bring and illuminate real truth, which we'll talk about in a little while. See, evidence reveals truth. And Strobel believed in the evidence based on the works of God, and he accepted the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus is our authority, and God provides the evidence to back it up. And if you hear, listen to scientists, I will assure you this one fact, that it'll take a lot more faith and a scientific approach about God and his creation to believe in the scientific approach than it would ever take faith in the true living God of all creation. So this morning, I have a question. Is Jesus your authority? And then that moves us to a next point, which is this. Jesus provides clarity. And by the way, if you're visiting, you can look in your bulletin notes. There's a fill in your blank as we go along. Jesus provides clarity. When we recognize the authority of Jesus, we can trust him to give us clear instructions. And there's nothing greater and clearer than what we see in this beautiful verse of John chapter 14, verse 6, which I would say that most of us probably have memorized. You may not know you have it memorized, but you probably do have it memorized. And what does it say? It says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So you do have a verse memorized. You can kind of check that off if you're trying to memorize a verse every week. Jesus is explicitly clear on his purpose. The purpose of the Son is to get people to the Father. Jesus provides clarity on how to achieve this feat. Jesus said there are three important facts to be clear about. One, that Jesus is the way. Number two, that Jesus is the truth. And number three, Jesus is the life. The world would have you believe that there are many ways to God. The world would have you believe that the truth is relative and independent on what you want it to be. The world would have you believe that life is what you want it to be and however you want to live it. But Jesus is clear. He and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. There's only one way that someone can have a relationship with God. That way is Jesus. See, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And sins is a big deal because sin serves as an impenetrable barrier between us and God. There's nothing that we can get to. There's no way we can get to God as a human being without something being done about the sin. So Jesus died on the cross, and he took on the sins of all mankind, and as a result, he took on the sins of the world, he died for them, and if we choose to accept what he has done, and repent and accept his sacrifice and his redemption, accept the fact that he was buried after he died, and 3 days later he rose from the grave, and we choose to make him the Lord of our lives, something radically changes in our lives. For when we repent and seek God's forgiveness, we come into a real and personal relationship with Jesus. Despite what lies the world will try to proclaim, Jesus and Jesus alone is the only way to the Father. If we follow Jesus' way, then we will know. Truth is not a feeling. It's not dependent on what we want it to be or what we want to manipulate it to be. By the way, aren't you thankful the 2018 elections are over? I think all parties could have learned a lot if they read John chapter 14, verse 6. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. Truth is absolute. Truth is uncompromising and does not change and cannot be manipulated. Our authority, Jesus, brings explicit clarity on what he wants. Are you needing clarity in your life? You know, sometimes things just get complicated. And we let things get blurry for us, when in fact, God doesn't want it to be blurry. We just allow it to become blurry. And then he wants to bring you corrective lenses so that you can see 20/20 again. Are you needing that clarity in your life? Then come to Jesus. Because John chapter 14, verse 6 tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That, my friends, is all the clarity that we will ever need in our life. And that leads us to our third important point. Jesus directs the mission. When Jesus is your authority, he will bring clarity to your life. And then he will give you directions and tell you his mission. Verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Jesus is sharing his mission. The mission is to do the works that Jesus has been doing. So what was he doing up until this time? Well, Jesus was sharing hope. He was sharing truth. He was preaching repentance. He was sharing about right relationship with God. Jesus' mission was to share salvation to mankind. If you believe in Jesus, then you will do the same. So what is the mission of your life? Does that mission involve Jesus? Because if it's absent of Jesus, there's a problem that we're having, because Jesus is our commander. And if we're following the commander, then we're following the directions, and he directs the mission. If you say that Jesus is your authority and he's your commander, then you must do what he says. Is your mission the mission of Jesus? If not, why not? If not, are you ready to make your mission today? Are you willing to share the hope of Jesus? Are you willing to share Jesus' truth? Are you willing to share the necessities of repentance of sin and not living in sin? Are you willing to share salvation and a right relationship with God? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus commanded us to be his witnesses. In Matthew 28:19-20, he commanded us to make disciples, to baptize, and to preach. All the things that Jesus commanded. So, are you on mission? You have received the mission from your supreme commander. Now you know what it is. Now you have to ask yourself, are you on mission? Are you his witness? Are you making disciples? Are you baptizing new converts? Are you teaching disciples to obey the commands of Jesus? Are you sharing the hope of Jesus? Are you sharing salvation so others can accept the authority of Jesus in their lives? Can you imagine what will happen to your home? Can you imagine what would happen to your church, to your community, to your nation, and to the world, if you and you alone were fully on mission for Jesus Christ? That leads us to our fourth and final point. Jesus declares support and victory. Sometimes we feel all alone when we're on a mission. Private Coker was the point man for his platoon. For you military folks, you know exactly what a point man is. For you non-military people, a point man is one of the most dangerous positions of a platoon that can exist, because they are out in front of the rest of the platoon, scouting out, looking, observing, trying to engage the enemy before the entire platoon is wiped out. And so it's a very difficult thing, and to be placed on point takes a lot of commitment and sacrifice. It was dangerous. It was difficult. Private Coker wasn't alone. You see, just like the military seldom ever would put you out by yourself, there's always going to be that support process, because the ultimate goal is to receive victory, to accomplish this mission and receive victory. Jesus never puts us out on a mission by ourselves either. No matter how you feel like you might be out there by yourself, no matter how isolated you might think that you are. See, Jesus will never leave us alone. He never abandons us. Verses 13 and 14, he tells us about the supports that he provides. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, this is one of those prosperity gospel treasures that the prosperity gospel people like to say, because they like to use this and quote this all the time. All you have to do is say it, and it'll happen. But that's not what that passage of Scripture really literally means. As we read this passage, we can easily misunderstand this verse. Jesus is not saying that if we're asking him for anything of our selfish desires, that he will give it to us no matter what we ask for. That's not what he's saying. But if our heart is seeking the glory of God, if our heart is in agreement with God's heart, then Jesus is prepared to give us the desires of our heart. So when we're asking God for the things that we are supposed to be asking because we are in right relationship with him, and we're living the way in accordance with his word, we're absorbing the word, we're reading it, we're studying it, we're spending time alone with God in prayer, he begins to transform and move our hearts away from the world closer to him. And when our hearts begin to move away from the world and focuses on the things of God, and we begin to ask the desires of our heart, which is the desires of God's heart, then Jesus is saying, that's when you ask, I will give it to you, completely? Do you seek to honor and glorify God in the way that you live your life? Or do you turn our church life on and off? You know, when we're here at church, we are a certain way, but when we're outside the church, we want to act a different way. Jesus says, that's a no-go for me. If I'm your commander, I'm your commander 24 hours, 7 days a week. You don't turn me off and on like a light switch. You belong to me, and you will follow my command at all times. It doesn't work like a light switch, does it? If God is our authority and our commander, and when our commander gives us a mission, then we have to respond in obedience. Sometimes in the heat of the battle of our mission, we need to call in artillery support. I know some of you guys have told me stories about your military service. I know some of you were artillery, and I know how that you would get the call, and you would dial in, and you began to provide that support, or else those platoons, those soldiers would be overran. And so in order to have that victory, you had to have the support. And so Jesus is saying, my mission is full complete. If you're feeling overran by the enemy, you call that in. I'll dial in specifically the artillery that needs to be fired, and I'm going to get you a safe place. I'm going to get you that freedom area. Sometimes we feel like we're being overrun, but Christians, we are never, never outmatched. God provides our support. And even though our earthly battles are painful and sometimes even costly, because we belong to Jesus, we will always have his support. And we're assured of eternal victory. Do you want the victory of in your life in the midst of the battle between good and evil? Because that is a spiritual battle that's waging against us. Then trust Jesus as your commander, accept his mission, and soldier on in obedience. You see, there's a truth to that. The victory belongs to the Lord. Stand with me right now as we have a time of invitation. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today? Have you been trying to do your own battles and you just got yourself in a whole big mess? Well, guess what? God's still not going to abandon you. He still has your support. He's ready to provide you the support because he expects victory. He is our commander. Are you following Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask right now, if you bow your heads, close your eyes, no one looking around, just let God talk to you in your heart. Is Jesus Christ the commander of your life? Is Jesus your authority? Are you clear on God's expectation of you? He makes it explicitly clear. The only reason why we have ambiguity or confusion is because we allow that, because God provides us clarity. Do you know God's mission? Suspect you do. If you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you're part of that mission. You've accepted it. You know it. So don't say you don't know his mission. You know what his mission is. So are you on mission for the Lord? Do you feel under attack? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you know that Jesus is here to provide the support we need to accomplish the mission of the Lord? Do you realize that God's desire is to provide you victory? No matter how Satan attacks you, the victory belongs to the Lord. Are you ready to live a life of victory? Then come today and choose to really follow Jesus Christ, the Supreme Commander. Choose and believe in Jesus. Choosing Jesus is to choose to follow him as your commander. So why don't you come and follow him today? Going to have a word of prayer. And if there's a decision that needs to be made today, I want to give you an opportunity. Perhaps today you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps today you've got your missions all confused. And now today you need to recognize that you need to change. You need to come back and follow the Supreme Commander. Whatever decision, I want you to feel clear to do that today. Perhaps you have accepted Christ and you need to follow in believer's baptism. Perhaps you need to unite with this church. Perhaps there's other things that's going on in your hearts right now. But that's between you and the Lord, and God will make it clear to you. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for every person that's here. They're not here by happen chance. They're here to worship you, Lord. And Father, as we worship you, you also speak to us, Lord. If there's someone here today that you're speaking to and making clarifications to, Lord, help them respond in faith to you right now. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, but today they know they must have you, as Lord. Lord, give them the courage to step forward. Perhaps they have accepted you as Lord and Savior. They've been struggling with the obedient step of baptism. Lord, I pray that they'll step out into following your commands. Lord, if there's other decisions, other choices, struggles that's going on in their lives that they feel overwhelmed with, Lord, help us to lay them at the feet of Jesus today. Help us to leave out of here with the victory of our commander. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'm going to sing one stanza of this next song. If you need to make a decision, I'm going to invite you to come right now as we sing. As you read in your bulletin, we have a special service today for the Lord's Supper, which is a very special time. We don't do this very often, but when we do that in true remembrance of Jesus Christ. I would like to say, as the deacons are coming forward, that if you're a guest with us, you are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us today. You do not have to be a member of our church, but you are required to be. A servant of the Lord. You need to know him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ and are an obedient follower of the commands of Jesus Christ, you are welcome to partake of our Lord's Supper table today with us. In the scriptures, it shares with us that preparing for this time is very important. Scriptures are reminds us, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine himself before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So as we prepare for this time, I'm going to ask if you just simply bow your heads, speak to the Lord, prepare your heart for this incredibly special time of remembrance that our Lord and Savior, our Supreme Commander, has commanded us to participate. So prepare your hearts now. If there's anything that's hiding in your heart right now, confess it to the Lord. Give it to him. Prepare your heart for this moment. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love that was lavished to us. The sacrifice that is so incomprehensible for us, an innocent man taking on the sins of all mankind so that we may have hope of salvation through his body and through his blood. There is only one man that was able to do this, and it was the God-man, the man who is fully God, the man who is fully human, and that was Jesus our Lord. Thank you for the sacrifices that Christ made for us. Thank you for the privilege and honor for us to be able to come before you at your table to participate. Clear our hearts. Help our hearts to prepare. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Jason, would you say a blessing over the bread, please? Thank you. the scripture shared, Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken and given, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Toby, would you say a blessing?